Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. This episode of Coach P's Perspective is brought to you by Manscaped, the world champion in men's grooming, the best in men's grooming. For me, I've always believed as an athlete and as a coach, if you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform good. So I like to turn to Manscaped products. I use their shampoo, body wash, deodorant, lip balm, cologne. You name it, they pretty much have it, right? World-class trimmers. And one of the things I love about Manscaped is this. Whenever we're looking at their grooming products, they are paraben-free, cruelty-free, dye-free. If I'm going to put it on my body, I want to make sure it's healthy and I want to make sure I smell good, right? So if you or someone you know wants to stay fresh, smell fresh, you want to walk out there with confidence, make sure that you go to manscaped.com, check out their products. And you can get a 20% discount right now using the code COACHP20. That is COACHP20. The world champions, the best in men's grooming, Manscaped. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. I have an absolute awesome human being, warrior, man of God. I could label a lot of things, but Eddie Penny with us today. Eddie was a Navy SEAL, really like part of the elite of the elite. We'll talk about that later. He's the author of a new book he's got coming out called Afraid, a podcast host, founder of the Contingent Group, has a clothing line. He's wearing one of the shirts right now. It says Unafraid on it. So Eddie, man, thank you for being on here.
Thanks for having me, my friend. I appreciate it. It's been, we've been trying to get this going for quite some time, haven't we?
Yep.
Schedules.
Yep. Busy. We got kids all over the place. So. Mm-hmm. Well, let's kind of start here, man. Tell us about, you know, your background, where you grew up at, maybe some of the sports you played, and then we'll, you know, get into your military stuff after.
Got you. Grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio until I was 17. I played just about every sport known to mankind. A lot of baseball. Summers I would do volleyball. Yeah, beach volleyball in Cincinnati. Did football until about eighth grade when I did not hit my growth spurt, but everyone else did. I was a late bloomer. So told my dad, like, hey, these guys are giants. They seemed like giants. So I was like, I need to try something different. I tried wrestling for a day. And then that weekend, it was on a Friday, that weekend I twisted my ankle playing basketball just with friends. So I was done with wrestling. After I healed from that, I had to do something. So a friend recommended the swim team. I swam for about 3 years, I got into it. That was a butt kicker. I was like, hey, maybe I'll just go to college and try to get a scholarship for swimming, because I was getting much better after time in the pool. And I always had the military dream forever. So I was like, you know what? I had a coach that passed away, and my swimming dream to just, it just took a toll on me. So my lifelong dream as a child was to be in the military. I always wanted to be a SEAL. And then I had a buddy that went in the Marines. I went down to his graduation in Parris Island for the Marine Corps graduation at his boot camp. Fell in love. So I did 4 years in the Marines. Wasn't liking it as much. Great organization. And then I switched over to the SEALs to attempt to be a SEAL. Passed that. And then did 16 years and retired at 20. And during that time, I started a company called Contingent Group, which is risk mitigation services, both domestic and internationally, even though like 95% of our stuff is around the globe. And then until COVID hit and people kind of and all the rioting or peaceful protests started happening, that people realized, hey, I need to beef up my home defenses because it could be the last stand with it kind of showed the world what could happen, which was a good learning lesson for a lot of people, myself included. And then during COVID started the Unafraid brand. And during that process, started writing a book with my good friend Keith Wood, who did a other bunch of other book projects. So he's a published author for, I think, three books now. And he writes for Guns and Ammo and a bunch of other hunting and shooting magazines. So that's where we are today. And then I'm a father of five kids, married to my best friend, and God is number one right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, five kids, man. We got four. It's a handful, right? For real.
Dude, it's like two handfuls. It's like, ah!
It's a blessing and it's a lot. So, all right. Well, man, let's go. First off, I'm a wrestling coach and we have a lot of wrestling people listen to this. So,
to them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yeah, I'm kind of doing a military series right now. You know, I have a lot of wrestlers and wrestling coaches on this, and my dad was in the military, but we have a lot of, I think there's a lot of similarities. A lot of wrestling people love military stuff, and a lot of military guys were wrestlers, you know, but, you know, swimming, I can absolutely see the correlation, you know, with you going into the SEALs and, you know, you guys got to be good in the water. So, you know, you go to college, and then at what point did you decide, whenever you're in the Marines, what point did you decide, like, hey, I think I want to be a SEAL, you know what I mean? Because this is not, I think most of us now have watched movies, we've read books, you know, all those type of things. This is not a light choice. This is like the elite of the elite. And it's one of the most difficult and grueling things. And we only usually get to hear about, you know, like Hell Week, but I mean, it's a long, giant process. And
that's just a sliver of it.
Yeah. So tell me about that process. Why did you decide you want to go that way? And then what was it like?
And you kind of named it. It's the movies, man. Those freaking movies will get you. So ever since I was, man, I can remember I was sneaking around my neighborhood, looking in people's windows, just to, not to be a weirdo. I didn't know what a peeping Tom was until I got older. I'm like, well, maybe that wasn't the best idea. So just like would sneak into people's pools, like kind of go underwater with all my gear on, swim underwater, and then come out the other side and then go to the next house. I was a weirdo, dude. I was like a freak show now that I look back at myself. But I was just always into the military thing, like sneaking around. I wanted to take out the bad guys. Didn't know exactly what that meant. I mean, I knew what it meant from watching Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Van Damme movies, the movie Navy SEALs. That was a big one, but that's like kind of where it got the drive and motivation. I wanted to be a SEAL. I wanted to be the elite of the elite. And at my time and the knowledge I had that was it. So the only thing that really took me out to the Marines was my buddy went to the Marines and I went to his graduation. I just fell in love. I'm like, this is so cool. And I was like, you know, they have a special forces, they have, you know, Marine snipers, they have force recon, they have recon. I was like, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. And then probably around 3 year mark, I tried out for sniper school, or no, I didn't try out for sniper school. You have to get like a expert qualification on the rifle range just to be accepted into the school. And I missed it by 1 point, three times. Like my command was so cool, they let me go multiple times. And I missed it by 1 point every time. And looking back now, I'm like, okay, so, you know, some prayers are not answered for a reason. So I was like, dude, this sucks. I'm just going to go back to that. I'll be a cop. That's cool. I'm totally cool with that. And then about 2 months of that thinking or that mindset, I was like, no, I'm like, I need to go do my childhood dream, which is be a SEAL. So when you tell friends and family, like, you can't even make it into sniper school. Now you want to go do this. Like, are you nuts? But no one knows my brain. Like, I know my brain. No one knows what's going on in there. It may be a circus, but it's your circus and you know what's going on in that circus. So I had no doubts. I'm like, barring any injuries or anything like that, I'm gonna destroy this. And that is where I really learned. Probably the biggest takeaway is that when your heart and your mind are locked into something, anything is doable. It doesn't matter. There's no word. The word can't does not exist. It is, I can, and you got to have those pep talks. And I had those pep talks all through training. Like, this is it. This is, I would literally say Buds is my bitch. Like, this is, I am owning you. I am going to own you. And I made it through. I made some great friends. I loved it. I really learned what the human body could do. And wow, we are created seriously awesome. Like, I just really learned my full potential going through that. So it was definitely, it was awesome. But that's kind of like how I course changed to back to the SEALs, what originally was supposed to be. So,
yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, talking about what our body can do and our mind, and I'm a big fan of mindset, man. I mean, we try to apply a lot of mindset training with our athletes, and
you're nothing without them.
Yeah. What's the mindset like whenever you're pushing your body to the limits and, you know, just, I mean, we trained hard as wrestlers and I still train hard. And, you know, there's points where like, you want to stop, right? There's points where you want to stop and keep going, but that's for an hour long or 2 hour long workout, not like days on end. If you guys are going through Hell Week and all the other stuff you got to go through. So what's the mindset like to, and I like it that you mentioned, you know, sometimes you got to tell yourself short, quick little phrases that get you going.
Yep.
I know sometimes I'm lifting and I don't know why, maybe it's because I'm from Oklahoma, but I'll just say, you know, nothing but a thing. I'll just say nothing but a thing. It's why I keep myself going. So what's the mindset like to allow yourself to push past your perceived limits and to go to that, the dark place?
I think your mindset's got to, it has to kind of change. I mean, you might be going through an evolution or a series or a workout and you're like, hey, by the end of this week, you're kind of thinking about the week, right? And then it might be a little bit more strenuous. Like you're at a wrestling camp or something that's a kick in the butt. Like, okay, maybe I just need to think about today only. And then maybe you're in a serious evolution where during that day, it's really hard. Okay, I just need to pass this hour. Like, I just need to concentrate about this hour. Okay, maybe it's this minute. Like, let's just get through this minute. And I think a lot of people, and I see this a lot, and I mentor people, it's great to get a bird's eye view of the goal. Like, what do I want in a year? What do I want in 6 months? What do I want next Saturday, right? It's great to get that, but you shouldn't focus on that. Like, and because in between now and we'll say in 6 months, you have 6 months. That's a lot of days. That's a lot of hours. That's a lot of minutes and tons of seconds, but you got to just take it. Like, what do they say when you want to eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? It's just like, take those small steps. You are responsible for that next step. I don't know what that is. That next step might be one push-up. It might be one more drill. It might be just eating your meal to get energy for your next bout. So whatever it may be, I think it kind of has to change. It kind of goes and it expands. It comes back together, expands. It's very fluid and it's got to be, and you have to have that mindset. Like, hey, this is mindset. Like, okay, I need to hone in on this simple task. And that's how it was in Buds. I mean, we do certain evolutions where I'm thinking about maybe a run tomorrow because I hate running, just because I was a bigger dude, killed my knees, and I didn't want to breathe too hard. So I might have been thinking about that, but I'm taking away from right now. So I'm like, okay, pull myself back in. Let's concentrate about the now, because the run doesn't matter if you don't take care of this right here. So you need to be in the present, and that's all we have. Tomorrow or yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not promised anyone. You have now. That's it. That's all you're responsible for. And I think if we, if people would kind of realize that, and it took me a while, and I'm sure you could probably say the same thing. It's like, I have the now, I need to kick butt right now. Then we would be successes in a lot of things. And there'd be a lot less failures. Not that failure is a bad thing. It's good to push yourself and see what you can get away with and what you cannot get away with. But I think we need to do one step. That's all you're responsible for. It's not a big task.
Yeah. I love that mindset. And that made me think about this. So I don't want to say I'm anti-goal. I think people should have goals, but like even with our wrestling team, we don't ever really talk about goals. I mean, we just know like, hey, we want to win state, right? We want to win regionals, want to win state. That's just, I think, sort of a given.
Right.
Focus on like daily habits, daily routines. We're getting better like right now, every single time. So what's your thought versus, or your thought with like goal setting versus like, hey, I'm going to create great things that I can control right now and do every single day. Can you have both? Like because you weren't just good in the military, right? Like you're an entrepreneur. You have a great business. You have this business mindset as well. So kind of tell me about that, your thought process on setting goals or just creating great daily habits. What do you do?
I think what you're saying about the goal thing is, I think you're spot on. I think it's good to set goals. And when I say set goals, is like a track athlete, for example, says, man, I really want to make the Olympics. That's a goal. I would really like to do that. But to get that goal, it kind of goes back to what you just said. You need to have daily habits. You need to be eating right. You need to be training your butt off. You need to not be getting in trouble. You need to have everything around your world working for you. Take care of injuries. Try not to get injured. Don't do stupid stuff. So, I mean, you got those daily goals of like, hey, I want to eat right today. I want to make 2 training sessions today. So I think those are baby goals, or they're wants or need tos. It all depends on what the situation is. Like a goal, for example, I want a new house in 5 years. I want to get some land. Like that would be a goal. I wouldn't want to say like for my business, I want to be the biggest security firm in the world. I want unafraid to be to take over, you know, Nike or whatever. That's not really a goal. It's just like a lot of things is I try to make it fun. Like this was just fun. If it does well, it resonates with people. It kind of makes them unleash the beast in their awesome mind. Then that to me is goal accomplished. It doesn't have to be monetary. It doesn't have to be like my pure drive is to really unlock people's potential. That is, I love seeing people be like the light bulb goes off. Like, oh, I get it. I am capable. I don't need to say I can't do that. I can do it. And crap, I tried. I messed up this. I'm going to try again. That right there to me is success. That is my goal being accomplished. So I think it's different for every person. They might be, I want to be the state champion in wrestling in this weight class. That could possibly be a goal. That's a great goal. But you need to stop thinking about that goal. And it kind of goes back to, what are you doing today, bud? You know what I mean? So it kind of goes to that. So I think it's both, but I think people can get wrapped around that goal and they're thinking about then versus now. So, I'm with you. I think there's a fine line. There's a middle ground in there and it kind of goes off of, and some people might think about that goal. Like some people might just be picturing that medal in their hand or standing up on top of that podium. That might be their drive, you know. Other people, which I agree more with, is the journey to get there. Like the freaking camaraderie, the sweat we pour on the mat together, the freaking, the downs, the ups, the loving that journey. And I just started jiu-jitsu probably about 2 years ago. And which I have mad respect for wrestlers because there's a huge difference between a dude that does jiu-jitsu and a dude that's done wrestling and then does jiu-jitsu. Like it's 2 different beasts. And but it's just like, it's so cool to get destroyed and then learn about it. Like, hey, try this. And it's just like that process to me is freaking phenomenal. Like that is fun to me. It doesn't really matter about the next belt or how long I've done it. But the more I do it, the more I learn, the more people I get to meet. And it's just cool, man. It's just, it's really like that journey piece. It's awesome. Not to sound like a t-shirt, but it really comes down to that. You got to love it. You got to have a passion or else you're going to falter. It kind of goes back to the fix and the growth mindset. You know, I got the fixed mindset where it's all talent. Like I can't improve myself. Where a guy with a growth mindset is like, I can be better. I will beat that guy. I will get better. Guys with that mindset kick butt. And that it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see someone come up for the ranks that started down here, but through determination, sacrifice, consistency, and just freaking grit, make it through it. It's beautiful. It is awesome. And then it goes back to the human resilience of like, dude, I can do whatever the hell I want. And that is beautiful right there. It's like kind of points right back to like God knows what he knows what he did. He's not stupid. And then you got the people, what about this person, dude, I don't have all the answers. No one does on this earth, but there's reasons for everything. I truly believe that.
That's a lot of wisdom right there, man. I'm a jiu-jitsu guy as well, so absolutely love it.
So you're one of the beasts. I love it, dude. I love it. Much respect, man.
So, you know, you guys, one of the things I love about a team, right? So like wrestling, we know and I love a lot of sports. Like I'm passionate about football. But, you know, wrestling is an individual sport, but it's also a team sport. Whenever you guys are in the military, you know, everybody's got to do their job. They're individuals, but that makes the team work. One of the things I like about teams is you become so close with everybody because you have to like literally, you know, sweat and bleed and sometimes cry. And then other times you get, you know, exuberant with those people. I can only imagine. So I only know it from a practice and competition perspective. I don't know it from a life and death perspective. I can only imagine how close you get with your friends that you've served with. Mm-hmm. Tell me about like whenever you guys are, whenever you were overseas and you're like literally out on a mission or you're having to train those guys and get them ready. What's that like, man? The camaraderie, you know, and some of the things that really make that special.
Yeah, the camaraderie gets pretty legit for sure. I mean, but it really comes down to the same thing. Like, you know, we'll take a wrestling team, for example. The more guys that do good is going to obviously bring the team up or school or organization, whatever it is. It's the same thing overseas. As I have to do my job. So we got our wrestlers doing individual events, doing their best to help the team. I have to do my individual job to help the team as well. And just like the next teammate, I have to watch this corner, ensure nobody squirts out this back door, and my buddies over on the other side watching the other corner. Like so no one comes up behind me and takes me out. So it's kind of the same thing. I mean, little different, maybe seriousness or whatever, but it's still the same thing. We're still doing the exact same thing. What is my job in this mission or this operation? I need to make sure that I'm keeping myself alive, but also my buddies, which is in my mind way more important. I'd rather be the one that get it than me screw up and have to live with my buddy dying because of a dumb mistake or a brain fart on my point. But it's the same. It's a team. It is a team. People, I get all the time, oh, you got to be so awesome, like so such a badass if you're a Navy SEAL. And I'm like, yeah, I am with my team. Mm-hmm. Like with my team and my gun and, you know, overhead and explosives and my dog, like our team's dog. That's when we're awesome. We're like a little beehive of awesomeness that can go around and do some crazy chaos/mayhem. But, you know, you take me away and I'm by myself, I'm nowhere near as effective as I am with my buddies. I mean, you're just not. Just like in a fight, one guy versus like 10, it's the same thing. So that's a huge thing. Like, oh, you're so bad. I mean, I definitely know how to do some destruction if I need to, but it's my team. I'm only as tough as my team, man. Like us together, we're the toughness. Me alone, not so much.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love about, you know, again, I don't have the experience, but as I read, as I watch those type of things, because as a coach, I want to create the best team we can possibly create. And I know as an athlete, it was one of the most special things. And you kind of mentioned it earlier. I mean, failure is not a bad thing, right? So in life, we have ups and downs, we have ebbs and flows. And then in sports, in everything, you know, we have those same type of deals and you got to learn from them. But what would you say, because I want to kind of move into the business world in a minute too, but what would you say are a couple of the greatest lessons that you learned being a SEAL or being in the military in general, right? So a couple of the big takeaways for you.
I'd say one of the biggest takeaways, like the first thing coming to my brain right now, and this answer probably changes depending on my mindset of what's going on in my life, but is being a sponge for the people in front of you that have the wisdom and the experience. I mean, learning. And I talk about jiu-jitsu a lot because it's a new realm for me where I had to, you know, I came from the tip of the spear, you know, I was involved with the greatest operators in our military, and then to come back down to white belt level and just have to listen and learn. It was a humbling experience. It was awesome. I really appreciate it. And it kind of like got me back. Like, you're always a student, man. You are always a student, a black belt, a freaking whatever, fourth degree dragon belt, whatever the hell you want to call it. The best operator in the world. You can always, always learn from the lowest level, the highest level, the middle level, a 6-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 46-year-old. You can always learn something because we all have these different life experiences, mess ups, failures, successes. And to act like you know everything. And I think, you know, when I was in the military at certain stages, I had that mindset, which is not a good one to have, is that you can always learn to be a sponge and just soak up as much wisdom you can from the guys that went before you, have the experience, and also take like your takeaways of the good, but also take away of the bad. Like, okay, I don't want to do that. That's not good. It made me feel this way. Or I could see the reaction from the other guys when they said this, or they did this, or acted like this. Like, I don't want to be that guy. So, I mean, it goes both the good and the bad. You just a sponge and soak it up and take the good, shit can the bad.
I love that, man. The white belt mentality, you know, it's, which comes back to that growth mindset, right? I think a really good example that often comes to my mind is my dad was a great wrestling coach. He's in the National Hall of Fame for coaching wrestling.
That's awesome.
And I remember going to a little kid's, so we had a weekend off, and going to a little kid's tournament with him. And it was like a 9-year-old that beat someone and I pinned this kid, and he walks off the mat and my dad's like, hey, come here real quick. And he's like, what was that setup you just used? And my dad's a great technician, but he's asking a 9-year-old like, hey, how'd you do that move? You know, and the kid and his dad, that kid's dad, whatever, they showed him. And so I was like, man, like, I always want to keep that mentality.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That
is so cool.
So let me, I want to ask you this. I want to jump forward real quick and ask you this, because I see all the books behind you, you know, and if we put this is mostly an audio podcast, but I'll, you know, I'll throw it up on YouTube. So when people see you, I mean, you're yoked out, right? You're built really well. I mean, you stay in great shape.
It's my therapy. It's to keep my brain sane. That's the only reason.
Same here. I always tell people my wife likes me a lot better than I work out, and it has nothing.
Oh, yeah. My wife's like, go to the gym. Yes, ma'am.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's not physique. It's like you're a much better person. Yeah,
exactly.
So, but what are some of your, like I said, there's books behind you, you work out. What are some of your daily growth habits? Some of your daily, like, hey, these are things I got to do every day to stay right and to continue to grow as a person.
Every morning I read. I usually get up before everyone else. And I only recently started doing this. I try to read a lot because I think it's very important. So I usually get up around 5 a.m. before the kids and everyone else gets up around 6 for school and stuff. But I get up at 5. I kind of drink some water, then I get my coffee, feed the dogs, and then I read for like 45 minutes to an hour every day. And it kind of changes. I'll read sometimes about relationship stuff to make sure I'm doing my part as a husband, spiritual stuff, mindset stuff. I love mindset books. I always can learn from different people's perspective. Positivity books, The Power of Thoughts, Worry. Not a lot of nonfiction. I like real stuff. I don't really do the fiction piece, but you know, any kind of reading is better than no reading at my point. I think everyone should read for at least like 10, 15 minutes a day just to get that brain going. And then when my wife gets up, we get coffee and we have devotions. So we kind of dig into like certain Bible plans and we'll just kind of talk about it, do like 10, 15 minutes of that. And then sometimes, not all the time, I'd say probably 40, 50%, I'll read at night before I go to bed. But I dig the reading. I think it's extremely important. I'll do podcasts. Occasionally I do audiobooks a lot. Like if I'm driving, I try to do audiobooks, because some books I honestly, especially relationship books, sometimes it's hard for me to like dive in deep. I have to listen to it, so I'll do those. But yeah, I am a big reader. I think it's extremely important. I wish I would have done this throughout my whole life, and I didn't. It's probably the last couple of years I really started, and probably the last year I've really started. So it's important. It's extremely important. So
how many days a week are you working out? And just quickly, what's a good diet plan look like for you? Like how are you?
Work out. I've finally got the maturity to listen to my body. Never really did that before. But if my body's feeling good, I usually do, I'll do 1 to 2 like striking workouts, hour length a week, and then 2 to 3 like grappling ones. And then I'll probably hit the weights 4 to 6 times. It all depends on my body. Sometimes I'm only doing 1 grappling, 1 striking. Sometimes I'm doing like 6. So it just fluctuates. Lifting, I've gotten away from like the big movements, like benching. It's just like my shoulders are, I'm not the same I was. So a lot of bands, I incorporate a lot of bands, Bulgarian bags, heavy bag workouts, stuff like that. But I mean, I'm still lifting. I still got to move weight around of some sort. The weight's definitely gone down with age now that I'm 43. But diet, so I got diagnosed probably 2 years ago with diabetes type 2. So I lost about 20 pounds. I had to switch my diet up. So I don't eat a lot of carbs at all. I might get 100, 150 grams of carbs a day, which is not a lot. So my fat's gone up. My protein's gone up. I stay away from the refined sugar. It doesn't happen all the time. Like I just had pizza the other day. It tasted like heaven. I don't know what heaven tastes like, but I would imagine that's what it was so good. But yeah, I just, I really got to watch what I eat, but I stay pretty good to the 5 to 6 meals a day, healthy snacks, like celery and hummus or some kind of healthy dip. And yeah, that's quit the energy drinks. Coffee's my only really caffeine, but there's been a lot of diet changes in the last couple of years with the diabetes. It's kind of made me, all right, dude, like stop eating like, because I would call it the bear diet, eat whatever the hell I want. I want that honey bun. I'm eating it. I want that cake. I'm eating it. I want that burger. I'm eating it. I would still get my meals and eat healthy most of the times, but you know, one piece of cake would be three pieces of cake, two scoops of ice cream. Like I'm like, cause I'm going to work it off, but you don't see what's going on internally in your blood until it was too late. So yeah, that's kind of my regiment right there.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. I stopped doing a lot of that. I guess the heavier movements. We do a lot of functional strength training. So
yeah, it's so awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'm a Bulgarian bag guy. So Bulgarian bags, TRX, kettlebells, dumbbells. So a lot of functional stuff, which I love. I wish I would have done more of that actually when I was competing as an athlete. I think it would have made me an even better athlete, you know? So,
oh God, yeah, man.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, just jump forward to business real quick. So Contingent Group, tell me a little bit about that and what you guys do, because I also love the entrepreneur mindset. I think that people that are highly successful in one area can take those principles and be highly successful in another area when they kind of realize the principles and can utilize them. So
I would agree with you. And I think it all starts with, hey, I'm going to give this a shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just keep pushing forward. And some things don't work. And you're like, okay, maybe I need to redirect, but still maintaining back to that goal. What is my goal? To start a business, to help people, whatever it is. So Contingent Group started back in 2013. I was my last couple of years in the military. And I just needed something to do. I was doing a training billets for the last couple of years because I had custody of my children, so I couldn't deploy anymore. So I started, a buddy reached out like, hey, you want to do some contracting, doing some executive protection? I was like, sure, I need something because I'm like dead over here. I'm getting bored. So I did that and I kind of realized like, hey man, I could start a company behind this. So I got the insurance needed and then started getting guys and started kind of snowballed into more jobs. Then like, wait a second, I can do way more with the people I know from my network, from where I came from. So it just kind of morphed into this all-encompassing security, customized, depending on the client, individual, family, organization. It really doesn't matter. We can do it all. Not Eddie can do it all, but my team can find or with the brains that I have behind me or us together, we can do whatever it is. So it kind of really good mitigation service of just keeping people safe. That's, you know, like it kind of, it's the same principles of when I wanted to join the military is I don't like evil. I want to protect people because that was really the motive behind everything is I love Americans. And it's all about them and not about an administration or something else. It's about that flag and the people that are here because that's what really matters. And so, yeah, pretty much took what my principles from the SEAL teams and kind of moved it over to the private sector. And that's kind of what we have going on right now. So it's been fun.
Do you guys work mostly with corporations? Are you doing protection for them? Are you working mostly with individuals, some of both?
It's everything. Some are individuals. Some it's a full family. Some it's a organization that travels back and forth overseas, taking care of hotels, tracking them, setting up cars. But it's like a glorified travel agency, but we take security and safety into serious consideration. So we do our due diligence to make sure, okay, has this hotel ever been hit? Why was it? Who stays here? Is it susceptible for another hit if like for political reasons or whatever it may be? So we kind of take it to that next step. And then some of us just like, all right, let's monitor these guys on media and see who's talking about them to keep their brand safe or their name safe. And so they can head it off with their PR team. And so it really changes for each client and it's very different all the time. So it just depends, which is kind of cool. Cause I got ADD and I'm like, bing, 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 bing. So it kind of works out.
Yeah, I hear that. Absolutely. That's awesome, man. So I love what you guys are doing there. And that you're able to branch out in various areas, keeping people safe. So even with brands, that's awesome. All right. So talking about brands real quick, you know, you got your book Unafraid coming out. You have your brands, you know, like I said, you guys have incredible clothing. You're also podcasting the Pennies podcast. So tell me a little bit about those things.
So the Pennies podcast, we just, my wife and I, Amanda, we just started having these conversations. Like we should just do a podcast. Like this would be we kept saying this would be such a good podcast episode. This would be such a good podcast. I'm like, okay, enough of the talking. Let's be the doing now. Let's go ahead and implement what we're talking about. So got the gear. We took one of our rooms in our house and just kind of set up our little podcast room and just started going for it. And then like, we want to obviously reach other people. I didn't want it to be another military guy's podcast. I was like, let's talk about the real stuff. Like, let's talk about the real relationship stuff. Let's talk about the real life stuff. We touch on military stuff once in a while, but I just want to kind of be different and kind of do something with her. And man, it's been like such a good bonding experience for us. Like I really don't even care if people listen. Like for her and I, it's so much fun. We have a blast. Like it's like a little project for us, like a little hobby that kind of has been bringing us together and more together. And it's been a lot of fun, but we talk about a lot of stuff that a lot of team guys or spec ops guys don't talk about, because a lot of people are afraid to be vulnerable. I was the same way. And to talk about your feelings, your emotions, the tragedy that can be there when you transition out of the military and you got to do, you know, the stuff back here stuff, dealing with the kids, dealing with marital issues. And I think that's important, because, man, if you don't got a strong marriage or your family's not good, you're a wreck in every other aspect, business, whatever it may be. You might say it's not, but I think it's just a band-aid. It's going to come out in one way or another, and drinking, drug use, females or males, depending on who we're talking about. So I think you need to take care of your home front first. I mean, it's everywhere. Like, take care of your own shit before you take care of someone else's. And I think it starts in the home. And so we do that. Unafraid podcast is actually going to be starting on the 3rd. So it's kind of more man stuff. So we're going to talk about hunting, more military stuff, some face stuff, like for men. So just more man stuff. We don't even know what's going on there. Talk about a bunch of different stuff. And then the Unafraid brand, man, I realized, like, when the whole COVID thing hit, like, there's a lot of afraid people.
Yes.
that are influenced by just a sentence from anyone. Like, oh man, this is going to kill us all. And they'll take that right there. And that is their logic and their thinking, not even logic. That is their emotional thinking for like years. Yeah. Because they heard this one time. They have nothing to base it off of. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, we're getting overpowered by straight up evil. Like, to me, that is evil. That is, it's not of good. I'm changing everything. We're not called to be little timid, meek and mild little bees. We're not called to be that. We're strong. We're awesome. It goes back to how awesome our human body is. And our brain is way stronger than our bodies. Any muscle. I don't care how big you are, how many pushups you can do, how far you can run, how long you can swim. It doesn't matter. Nothing will ever beat a strong mindset and a passionate heart. Never, ever, ever, or hard work. It's just not happening. So that's where the Unafraid came from. I was like kind of searching for a name when I was driving. And I don't know if you listen to Skillet, they have a song called Lions. And I was just listening to it. I've listened to the song, I don't know how many times. I love Skillet, 100 times. And then all of a sudden it just said, Unafraid. And I was like, that's it. That's it right there. That's it. Like, it was like, God said, boom, take this word, put it in your brain. That's it. Game over. So there it was, Unafraid. And then, which is crazy, because when the book came out, Unafraid was never the intended title. Since the beginning, it was supposed to be Within War, like the Within War. And I'm within war, like at the home front, with addictions of drinking and pill popping and the war overseas, war with my family, the war with like everything. Right. And the people that like that are really good at doing this stuff, they're like, yeah, you can use this title if you want, but I think there's got to be something better than my partner, Keith Wood, the actual brains behind the whole project, the writer. He goes, what about Unafraid? And the lady was like, yes, that's it. And then she goes, Eddie, explain Unafraid. And I just went into why it's so important to me. And that's been it. It's just so crazy. It was never supposed to be Unafraid. It was supposed to be Within War forever, yeah, like 2 years. And I was like, I was set on it. I'm not totally set on this unless you can convince me otherwise, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be it. And then that came out, and then the feeling, I was like, okay, it is Unafraid. So there we go. So we don't know at all. That's for damn sure, buddy. Going back to the wisdom piece, right? Yeah.
Well, I love the branding. I'm a gear guy, man. I always say, like, wrestlers, like, we'll ride a bull for a t-shirt. You know, it's like,
right. Oh, dude, yeah. I think it says something. It's like, I believe it's like accountability. Really do. Like, you're down. Like, I wear these bands all the time, like, not passive, I'm all in. Like the Ephesians 6, you know, armor of God. Like, because sometimes, I wish that I was always on top of my game. But, dude, we are attacked nonstop by people's comments, by posts on media, by our kids, by our spouse, by our friend, by our dog, because it chewed up something. Like, it's constant, and you gotta have, so you're going to be going, you got these ebbs and flows, these ups and downs. And sometimes, like, I need that accountability. Is like, okay, dude, I am all in. Like, I am doing this because that is who I am. This is my brand. This is who I rep. And it motivates me. It like gives me that push, that extra oomph. Like, hey, dude, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Shut up with your victim mentality. Get up there on that horse and go. And it works for me. It works for me. I mean, it really does. And so that's why we have the bands. That's why I have the stickers, the shirts. Like, I'll see people's shirts all the time. Like, I get yours right there. And it motivates me. I'm like, damn right. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it just gets me going.
Yeah. I'm the same. Got my wristband on this one. If you want it, go get it. So this is one that we got.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that. Like, and it's so true. You got to do the work, buddy. You got to do the work. Do the work.
We give these
mindset.
We give these to our wrestlers, and because they mean something. So I'm gonna have to jump on and grab.
It does, man. It does. Just having that. I mean, there's people that write verses or inspirational quotes on their mirror with like an Expo marker or something. I think that's good. So when you're washing your face, you're brushing your teeth, you're staring at it, and it's letting you know, like, hey, dude, like, go. Like, you're not weak. You're not timid. You are freaking strong. And I got this, we put on one of the shirts, every day's a battle, so prepare for war. Like, because every day is a battle. I think a lot of people, they put their feet on the floor once they roll out of bed, and they're like, oh, another day, I got to go to work. And they're just very complacent. But if they change their mindset, and this is where I'm trying to take Unafraid in both the spiritual world and in like the motivational side, is once your feet hit the ground, picture yourself as a freaking warrior. I don't know if that's a gladiator. I don't know if that's somebody from 300. I don't know if it's freaking somebody in full, like a knight's armor, but whatever you picture yourself, what resonates with you is like, you're dressed for battle to go get it. And you're taking it as a battle. So if there is a problem with the spouse, or if there is a problem with your kids, not that we go to war, but we diffuse it. Like, hey, instead of being this, I'm just getting beat up, because that affects your whole day. Like, take it for what it's worth, kind of pull yourself out, see the situation, and lead that family, your business. I mean, even if you're not the boss, you can still lead by example. It doesn't matter. You don't need to have a title, a boss, a CEO like me, CEO. That's a title. I learn from my guys all the time, all the freaking time. Like, you know, so I think you just, people need to change their mindset. Like, I am not just a human, because that's not true. You're awesome. You're a freaking warrior. You're called to be a warrior in whatever your domain is, whatever you do daily. Like, wrestler, when you get on the mat, you're a warrior. When you get off the mat, you're still a warrior. You just look different. You're just doing different things. You're still encouraging. You should be encouraging people, helping out the weak, and stop bullying and feeding into others, and you being the example. If we did that across this world, oh my gosh, dude, raise the sunshine everywhere, buddy.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And I'm going to work out after our podcast here, get me all motivated. So
oh, I'm going right after this, baby. I'm going right after it.
So, all right. Well, I'm going to always kind of try to end it with this, and you can expound upon this question as much as you want. You can answer one or all three. All right, so I want you to tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life. Hero, hardship, highlight, or a little of each.
Hero, hardship, or what was the last one?
Highlight.
Okay. My hero, there's so many of them. There's so many of them. I'd have to go back to my childhood. And this is in the book, and I've mentioned it on other podcasts, I believe, but my dad taught me something that I'll never forget. And it's stayed with me in my brain forever. And it is the, it would lasted all of them, maybe 30 seconds to a minute. Is we went, we rented a houseboat down in Dale Hollow in Tennessee on this lake. And there was a little like canoe attached to it, like a little motorized boat or whatever. So you could go out and do fishing or whatever, go get supplies. And we threw in the anchor. We pulled up the anchor or something like that. The anchor went down and he pulled up the rope or like pulled it up and like there's no anchor on it. So it was just the rope. So the anchor was in the water. And I was like, oh crap, like what do we do? And without my dad saying anything, he just dove in, goes underwater. I see bubbles kind of stop. And I'm like looking at the water. I can still picture this right off the side of the boat. And then he comes up, got it. And he throws it right back in the boat. And I'm like, the dude never had a conversation. The dude never said, here's my plan. The dude never like, let me think about this. He never said, what are we going to do now? He just did it. So I took that away as like, not everything needs a conversation. Sometimes you just got to take the initiative and go be a doer and go do it. We don't need this extravagant plan with PowerPoints and all this stuff. Like he just dove in or he didn't say, oh, I guess that's it. I'm not going to be able to get that. He didn't know if he was going to go get it. It was kind of murky water. He just went down, he gave it a shot and happened to come up with it. And that has stuck with me forever. That is one of the most heroic things I've ever seen. And people will be like, Eddie, out of all like your operations on the battlefield. And I'm like, no, to me at my, however old I was, 9, 10, 11, whatever I was, that to me was the most heroic thing I've ever seen. It like set the stage of my life and how I accomplish a lot of things or tackle, at least try to do whatever it is. I fail all the time, but I take those failures. I pack it in like, all right, what's next? If I'm not failing, I actually feel like I'm slacking. So that would be my hero. Hardship would be when I got custody of my children. I've got three kids. When I was operating, I won custody. I was going for 50-50. I somehow won 100% of them, which changed my life, probably saved my life. But going from operator was really about me. It became about them really, really fast. I did not change diaper. My son was 10 months old. My middle child, Samantha, she was 5 or 6. And then Kayla, my oldest, was 10. So I had two girls and a little boy in diapers. And I was like, my life is ruined. Like I was at the pinnacle of the teams, a tier 1 unit. And I was like, I had to stop operating. And it was just like a identity crisis it's like the pacifier with Vin Diesel, but on steroids. And in real life, and I had to take care of those kids. I didn't know what to do. I really just did not know what to do because we're dudes. We like to fix things. We like to make it right. And I was lost. And my mom and my stepdad and my dad, like my family kind of pulled together. They helped me out, learned how. I mean, I remember going to the grocery store and like, what do you people eat? Like, I didn't even know what to buy. Yeah. Like I didn't, cause I never had to deal with it. My ex-wife always dealt with that stuff. And like, I didn't know if I could go to the gym anymore, but I didn't realize that there's a thing called childcare. So I'd be the dude going to the gym with a stroller, two girls, pigtails, like ponytails, cockeyed, because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But we made it work, man. And unfortunately, I had to make those girls, which, you know, no one should ever do, but it just, I needed help and they pulled through. They really helped me. They matured a little bit faster than they need to, but they're one of my oldest daughter, Kayla. She's a mother now and she's phenomenal. And I know that my Samantha, when she's 18 now, when she becomes a mother, she's got so much life experience that I wish that she could be more of a kid. That was just our story. So that was definitely a hardship. And that led to a lot of drinking, a lot of pill popping, just to comatose myself at night, because that was the hardest thing I've ever done. Out of buds, any kind of training school I went to, operations overseas when you're getting shot at or getting shooting back, nothing compared to raising three kids by yourself, nothing in the world, but I love them to death. It made me such a stronger man. So that'd be my hardship, but also my highlight. So it was my hardship and that was my highlight. I learned more about myself taking care of those kids. For like 10 years alone, that was a highlight of my life. So it was definitely the hardest thing in this first couple of years, but then I started getting it, like dropping kids off at school, packing lunches, doing hair, like talking about emotions wasn't the greatest thing. That kind of happened towards the end. And kind of like my kids are, they're my people, man. They're awesome. I wish I had more time with them when they were younger, but it was definitely hard. And it was the freaking highlight. I learned so much more. Learned more with them than I did in the military, hands down. So that'd be my answer for those three.
All right, man. That is awesome. So absolutely awesome. Well, I will put your website. I'll put your social media, those type of things in the show notes. So when can we expect, and we talked about this off camera a little bit, but when can we expect the book to come out?
I think we're going to do pre-sale, I believe, is in May sometime, mid-May. And then the book should be hopefully released end of May, beginning of June, or sometimes June. But there's other books that are coming out the same time and the kind of same feel. So we're going to make sure we're before them or a little bit after. So we kind of got to play. But I would say May, June, safe to say, the latest, beginning of July, the latest. So from what I'm being told. Now, things could change because I've learned that things could change. You've done a book, so you know the deal. But we'll see. But we're super excited. The podcast, the Unafraid podcast, we actually go through and we talk about each chapter in depth. Nice. So we're going to be kind of releasing that by week once the book's released. So it's a lot of good stories in there. So
that just brought to mind real quick before I let you go. On your website, it says The Den. Tell me what is The Den?
So The Den, kind of when it was kind of during the COVID times, people were getting censored for just having a belief or an opinion. And I was like, man, there's so much dark stuff on certain platforms. Like, I don't want to see all this all the time. So I created The Den for people to go strictly for motivation. So there's inspirational quotes, there's faith stuff, there's workout stuff, there's self-defense stuff, there's fighter stuff. There's like just stuff to, hey, I need you to keep me accountable. I need someone to hold me accountable. Like, you put out your goals or what you want to do. Like, in 3 months, I want to lose 20 pounds. Okay, we're going to be checking up on you. Like, hey, put a picture up. All right, it's been a month. Put a picture up. Stuff like that. Good books to read. We talk about it. We do kind of like a book a month, kind of a little club. There's a way to message each other. There's a way to do all kinds of stuff. I did add hot topics, which is kind of like current events, but you need to give yourself access. Like, it's not going to pop up on your feed unless you want it to. So you have a way to turn it on and off. Because sometimes it brings people down. Like, people just don't want to see it. But some people also want to get the truth. So kind of put the truth on there sometimes that media likes to take down sometimes. So it's got a bunch of cool stuff. There's stuff for nutrition. People put their meals on. I put all my workouts on there. People can put their workouts on, which is awesome to see what guys are doing. Just new things that I get from people, jiu-jitsu, boxing, at the weight room, whatever it is. Hey, try this stretching or whatever it is. Let me just throw it all on there. There's guns and gear, pointy things, basic security, basic ways to keep your family safe. So I kind of, it's like a vomit pool of like a bunch of awesome stuff. You can just like get in there and throw your gun set up, get recommendations. What do you guys think of this? So that's what The Den is. And it's, you can do monthly or you can do a yearly subscription. But it's cool. Get a lot of good feedback about it. And you can message people and all that good stuff. So it's super cool. And you get a discount, obviously. If you're a member of The Den, you get a discount on all the Unafraid gear. So,
okay. Awesome. Very awesome. So I'll make sure I have all that information in the show notes. Gotcha. Eddie, man, thank you so much for being on
here.
Thank
you, dude. This was a fun podcast, and good luck with the wrestling and keep building that freaking mindset. And I love the picture behind you, by the way.
Yes, sir. Well, thank
you. Love it.
So, all right, everybody, this has been another episode of Coach Pete's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, give you peace. Until next time, we're out. Hey, I want you to go check out my friends at the Matterborn Wrestling Company. If you wear wrestling shoes for any reason, for me, I lift in these, I train in these, I coach wrestling, I wrestle. All right, so if you're an MMA fighter, a wrestler, weightlifter, and you wear any sort of a wrestling shoe, boxer, these are the ultimate shoes. I've wrestled since I was 4 years old, been around the sport my entire life. And for the last few years, the only thing I've worn are Matterborn wrestling shoes. The comfort is ridiculous. They have a 1-year guarantee. The fit, phenomenal. And then I can't wear them out. I wear these suckers almost every single day. I can't wear them out. So that is Matterborn Wrestling, MATA, B-O-U-R-N-E Wrestling Company. Go look at any of their social media as you'll be able to get to their link tree through that. I will also have a link in the show notes. Matterborn Wrestling Company. If you're looking for wrestling shoes, they are the best.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.